Paul makes the point quite clear early in our reading today that the law is a binding thing, but that it is a thing which binds to a particular point, the point of death. In order to illustrate his point, he tells of the woman married to her husband under the law of marriage. And should this woman, during the period of time which her husband is alive, take up with another man, she would be considered to have broken the law of marriage and would very rightly be called an adulteress. She is not permitted by the law of marriage any more than he would be to take up with someone else other than the one to whom she has been bound in marriage. But at the time of death, at the time that her husband should cease living, she is freed from that bond of marriage, and if she would so choose, would be free to marry someone else. She would no longer be bound by that law because death would have intervened. And so then, if she were to marry another, freed from the prior law of marriage, she would not be considered an adulteress. Paul's imagery is in order to describe how the law binds us. It binds us to the point of death. In our adultery towards God, in our sin, we find ourselves bound by the law, bound by it to death. Having ventured away from our Creator, prostituting ourselves to sin, and placing ourselves as adulterers to the law of God, we bound its demand for our condemnation to ourselves. And only death can release us from that bondage. The problem is the bondage that the law has upon us is in condemnation to sin, and it demands our death. And while our death may come under the law, we don't find release and freedom at all, because the death that that law has bound us to in our sin is an eternal death, a death from which we cannot escape. For when that death comes, when that eternal death takes place, the law demands that we remain eternally condemned, receiving what it deserves for our transgressions against it, our bodies and souls dead and ablaze in the fires of hell. And so it would seem that there would be no freedom for us from the law like that of the woman released from the law of marriage and no longer an adulteress if she remarries. But then Paul tells us just a bit more. As Paul goes on, Paul tells us that indeed there is death that has released us from the law. Death that has come and broken free the bonds of the law that we might live anew. The death of Christ that releases us. His death, fulfilling the law's demand for our death, but his death not being demanded by the law of him, for he had kept the law perfectly. And thus, by dying under the law, he reverses the law's hold on us on account of our transgressions and our adulterous ways, and in his death destroys death, destroys sin's death, destroys our eternal death, and frees us from the condemnation of the law. For he not only died under the law's condemnation, but rose and broke its bonds once and for all to free us, and then bound us to him in death and in resurrection at the font. binding us as we died and our old Adams drowned and were buried with Christ, and raising us to new life in him for eternity. At the font, our adulterous, sinful ways were washed away in Christ, and he restored us as his bride to present us to his heavenly Father, released from the bindings of sin and death. Released, as Paul tells us, for service to him to bear fruit for God, that we might no longer bear the fruit of death, but rather the fruits of his desiring, the fruits of our faith in thanksgiving to him. He released us not that we might ignore the law and sin all the more. By no means, Paul says, but rather that we might live joyfully under the law as those redeemed by Christ. In our sin daily, we return to our adulterous ways and to our fruits of death. But daily in our baptism, Christ kills off our sin and raises us up new again, restored and forgiven in him, promising us the blessings of eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.